Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Since at least the colonial era, tobacco has been a popular commodity in the United States, with tobacco use increasing almost exponentially from the 1800s to the mid-1960s. The invention of the cigarette fueled this dramatic rise in tobacco consumption, and cigarette smoking quickly outpaced the use of any other form of tobacco product. When tobacco use peaked in the mid-1960s, more than 40% of the U.S. adult population smoked cigarettes. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, Americans consumed tobacco primarily in the form of chewing tobacco and cigars. For a number of reasons, cigarettes became the preferred tobacco product of Americans over the 20th century. In particular, cigarettes served as a more efficient vehicle for the absorption of nicotine and a less expensive form of tobacco. Also, by the 1880s, cigarette production had been mechanized with the advent of the Bonsack machine, which made it possible to produce additional units for little or no additional cost. And the prices of cigarettes were cut in half. The lower price made cigarettes more accessible to a wider clientele. By the 1950s, manufactured cigarettes represented 80% of the per-person tobacco consumption. In 1900, on a per capita basis, American adults smoked approximately 54 cigarettes every year. That number increased almost exponentially until its peak in 1963, when an estimated 4,345 cigarettes were consumed per adult in that year alone. This growth in consumption occurred for a variety of reasons, but was largely driven by the mass production of cigarettes. The mildness, the packaging, the addictiveness, and the convenience of the product, combined with the glamorization of smoking in movies and on television, and persuasive advertising campaigns, meant that more Americans became interested in smoking. The intensity and innovation in advertising have been hallmark features of the cigarette industry throughout its history. In 1913, Camel became the first cigarette brand to gain nationwide popularity, following a mass marketing campaign by the R.J. Reynolds Company that introduced this American blend cigarette to the American public through a teaser advertisement. Other companies followed suit, especially after World War I, as heavy advertising propelled the demand for cigarettes on a national scale. Lucky Strike drew women's attention with the diet slogan, "Reach for a Lucky instead of a Sweet." Throughout the 1930s and the 1940s, the Brown and Williamson Company included health claims in its ads for Cool, the first menthol cigarette distributed nationwide, claiming that smoking menthol cigarettes could protect against colds and soothe the throat. Over the 20th century, cigarette consumption fell only a few times before 1965, once during the Great Depression, again at the end of World War II, and in 1953 and 1954. The drop in consumption during the Great Depression was directly related to the decline in real disposable income, whereas the declines in the early 1950s followed the first real claims of tobacco's harmful effects on health. To mollify the public's growing concern about the health effects of smoking, tobacco companies introduced filtered cigarettes in the 1950s and the so-called low-tar cigarettes in the 1960s. The market share of filtered cigarettes jumped from less than 5% in 1953 to almost 20% 2 years later. By 1960, more than half of all cigarettes consumed had filters. Despite the development of new products purportedly reducing smokers' exposure to tobacco toxins, Americans have greatly reduced their tobacco consumption since the publication of the first Surgeon General's report on the harmful effect of cigarette smoking in 1964. At that time, almost half of all adults in the United States smoked cigarettes. Today, less than 30% of all Americans smoke cigarettes, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This substantial decline led the CDC to characterize the reduction of smoking as one of the 10 greatest achievements in public health in the 20th century. And while it was a great achievement, the mission remains unfinished. Tobacco use still causes 440,000 deaths in the United States every year alone. Secondhand smoke claims another 50,000 lives, and all told, approximately one in every five deaths is smoking-related, accounting for more deaths than those from AIDS, alcohol use, cocaine use, heroin use, homicides, suicides, motor vehicle crashes, and fires combined. The health consequences of tobacco use are numerous. Each year between 1997 and 2001, smoking caused 160,000 deaths from cancer, and smoking caused 140,000 deaths annually from hypertension, stroke, heart disease, and other cardiovascular problems. The third largest specific cause of smoking-related death is respiratory diseases, comprising 100,000 deaths annually. Smoking is also a major cause of morbidity and mortality from infectious diseases, including influenza, pneumonia, tuberculosis, and others. Smoking during pregnancy and infant exposure to tobacco smoke also causes poor birth outcomes such as prematurity, low birth weight, respiratory problems in the newborn, and sudden infant death syndrome. Although cigarette smoking is often referred to as the single leading preventable cause of death in the United States, other forms of tobacco are also dangerous. Men who report moderate inhalation and smoke at least 5 cigars a day experience lung cancer deaths at about 2/3 the rate of men who smoke 1 pack of cigarettes a day. Smokeless tobacco also contains 28 carcinogens and is associated with the risk of oral cancer. It's also associated with gum recession and a condition called leukoplakia. The health consequences of tobacco use have substantial economic effects. Because of smoking-related mortality, more than 3.3 million years of potential life among men and 2.2 million years of potential life among women are lost every year. The lost productivity attributable to these years of life lost amounts to more than $92 billion annually. Other economic costs of tobacco use amount to more than $155 billion every year. Private and public health care expenditures for smoking-related health conditions are estimated at $89 billion, including $28.4 billion in federal and state payments to Medicaid. Healthcare expenditures for secondhand smoke alone are approximately $5 billion per year. And there are other social costs related to tobacco use. Smoking is the fifth most frequent cause of residential fire, the leading cause of fire deaths. State and local governments spend millions of dollars every year on prevention and research efforts related to tobacco use. In 2002 alone, state and federal funding for tobacco control programs came to more than $861 million, or $3.16 per capita. Tobacco use will surely not disappear in the United States simply because of the momentum of past achievements. The decline in tobacco use achieved over the last several decades is expected to flatten out. Strong measures will be needed to maintain continued progress thereafter. One problem is that the annual rate of cessation, never particularly high, has been flat since 2002. And the high smoking initiation rate among teenagers is a major impediment to achieving a permanent long-term reduction in the prevalence of tobacco use. Notwithstanding substantial investment in tobacco control efforts in recent years, prevalence of current smokers among high school seniors remains at about 20%, and most of these individuals will remain smokers as adults. Indeed, approximately 90% of adult smokers began smoking as teenagers. It's also important to note that reducing tobacco use is, of course, a global challenge. According to a recent World Health Organization study, tobacco-related diseases will kill 6.4 million people a year by the year 2015, accounting for 10% of all deaths worldwide. There are now many millions of smokers in the world, served by increasingly aggressive transnational tobacco companies. The common interest of all nations in reducing tobacco use has been declared and effectuated by the World Health Organization-sponsored Framework Convention for Tobacco Control, which went into effect in 2005 and has been ratified by 142 nations, which unfortunately does not include the United States. But the United States nevertheless has a direct stake in reducing smuggling of tobacco products into this country that could undermine domestic tobacco control efforts, and the Institute of Medicine recognizes the compelling importance of international tobacco control efforts for world health. Concerns about the waning momentum of tobacco control efforts and about declining public attention to what remains the nation's largest public health problem led the American Legacy Foundation to ask the Institute of Medicine to conduct a major study of tobacco policy in the United States. The IOM appointed a 14-member committee and charged it to assess past progress and future prospects in tobacco control and to develop a blueprint for reducing tobacco use in the United States in the years to come. The Institute of Medicine proposes a two-pronged approach to further reduce tobacco use in the United States. The first element focuses on strengthening existing tobacco control measures to preserve and enhance the gains already made. The committee's recommendations include such measures as requiring all public and private health insurance plans to make coverage of smoking cessation programs a lifetime benefit, licensing retail outlets that sell tobacco products, and launching additional efforts aimed at curbing youth interest in smoking and access to tobacco, including bans on online sales of tobacco products and direct-to-consumer shipments. Those measures focus on reduced demand for cigarettes, but they don't address the addictive aspects of tobacco or constrain manufacturers' incentives to attract more smokers. The Institute of Medicine specifically expressed concern that overall smoking rates may not drop significantly below 15% and that youth smoking rates may never fall permanently below 20% unless the basic legal framework of the tobacco market is changed. It therefore proposed a second set of further-reaching recommendations that included limiting tobacco advertising, prohibiting tobacco companies from using misleading terms such as mild and light, requiring new, larger pictorial warnings on the harmful effects of smoking, and restricting the type or number of outlets that can sell tobacco products, and requiring them to display warnings and give a proportional amount of space to cessation aids. The Institute of Medicine believes that federal regulation is an essential element of a comprehensive approach to tobacco control. It therefore urges the Congress and the President to give the Food and Drug Administration the authority to enforce standards for nicotine reduction and to regulate companies' claims that their products reduce exposure or risk. And the agency should have the authority to restrict the kind or number of outlets that can sell tobacco products and limit how the industry promotes its products. As a long-term strategy, the Institute of Medicine also recommends that the FDA look into developing a plan to gradually reduce the nicotine content of cigarettes and thereby decrease their addictive power. This proposal requires further investigation and careful assessment before it's implemented, but it offers a reasonable prospect of making it easier for smokers to quit and to decrease the likelihood that youthful or casual smokers would progress to regular smoking. The Committee on Reducing Tobacco Use, Strategies, Barriers, and Consequences was chaired by Richard J. Bonney, the John S. Battle Professor of Law and Director of the Institute of Law, Psychiatry, and Public Policy at the University of Virginia School of Law in Charlottesville. Established in 1970 under the charter of the National Academy of Sciences, the Institute of Medicine provides independent, objective, evidence-based advice to policymakers, health professionals, the private sector, and the public. Ending the Tobacco Problem, a Blueprint for the Nation, was sponsored by the American Legacy Foundation. For additional information on this report, contact the Institute of Medicine. You may phone them at area code 202-334-2352. You may also read this report online, free, at nap.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.